Blog Talk Radio.
This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Welcome you tonight to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odell, and we are into now our May 13th of 2014 broadcast. I'm glad you're with us tonight. If you're tuning in for the first time, you can call in with comments and questions at the guest call-in number, which is 347-884-8566. That's 347-884-8566, and just call in. And if you want to speak on the program, make your comment, or you have a question, press 1 and it'll put you in the line of callers. Anyway, we want to welcome you again. Again, I'm Pastor Dean Odell. I'm here tonight with Pastor Kevin Wilkinson, and of course I believe that Pastor Billy Painter will join us a little later in the evening. But tonight we're going to get into a subject. Again, we try to cover important subjects, but this one is on my heart because I believe and know that God has called me to be a prophet in the fivefold ministry, and as well as being a pastor, and I have served as an evangelist and also as a teacher in the fivefold ministry. So I'm familiar with the different ministry gifts, and of course the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are different, the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I want to say this at the outset. We're going to talk tonight about the false prophets that are out there, and of course not just the obvious ones, but we're going to talk about how that many that come in the name of Jesus, whether some knowingly, some unknowingly, that have been deceived, but that there are prophets out there who come in the name of Jesus, and they have they're bringing forth things that are not from God, and they're operating in demonic spirits and familiar spirits and in demonic signs and wonders and miracles, and yet saying that it's all from Jesus. And right now we're seeing really at this time period an epidemic of false prophets, deceived prophets, and demonic manifestations in the body of Christ. But having said that, I want to make it very, very clear that I am a Pentecostal charismatic preacher, meaning that I believe in the supernatural. I believe that God can give visions and dreams. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of prophecy, that all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still for today. I even believe that if God so chooses, that a person can be caught up to heaven in a vision, even spiritually, their spirit out of their body up into heaven, like John did in the book of Revelation, like Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he was caught up to the third heaven. I believe those things are possible, but we must remember that with all the gifts, whether it be tongues and interpretation of tongues, the gift of prophecy, the word of knowledge, God supernaturally revealing information about someone or something, or the word of wisdom, God revealing his will supernaturally in a certain situation, whether it's the gifts of healing, the gift of the working of miracles, which I believe casting out demons falls under that gift, working of miracles, but also the gifts of faith. Those gifts, 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe are for today. I don't believe there's any scripture that proves that they ended with the apostles or they ended in the first century. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 that's taken out of context where it says whether they be prophecies, they will fail, whether they be tongues, they will cease, when it says, but that when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. Because he said we prophesy in part and we have revelation knowledge in part. But Paul made it very clear. He said, for then when we see him face to face is when we will not have a need anymore for the supernatural gifts. But, again, having said that, we do believe, I do, our church doctrine and our statement of faith plainly states, we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we believe in the supernatural, that Jesus not only provided for the forgiveness of sins when he died on the cross, but the Bible's clear that by his stripes, when he was whipped with that whip before he was crucified, it says, by his stripes we were healed, and that healing was bought and paid for. And we also know Jesus said that when he would go away, after he rose from the dead, he said when he would ascend to the Father, that he would send the Holy Spirit to live and dwell in us and to speak to us and to show us things to come. And this is all Bible. And so then, of course, you know, we have people again out there, Baptist, Methodist, different Reformed, Calvinist theologians that want to say that, the gifts and the power of God ceased. But then, of course, we see in the book of Acts where Peter is preaching and he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So he says very clearly there that in the last days that the spirit of God will be poured out upon people and they will prophesy. They will see visions from God. They will prophesy and have dreams that are prophetic dreams from God. So we believe in the supernatural of Jesus Christ, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he still interacts, speaks to his people through his Holy Spirit, and that he still gives visions, he still gives dreams, he still heals the sick, he still uses us to cast demons out of people, he still raises the dead and works every miracle that's in the Bible. But again, what we have to do is we got to recognize that there's another side to this. And, of course, I covered this a few weeks ago when we talked about the demonic miracles and the demonic manifestations that take place in the Roman Catholic Church. Actually, this is going to kind of tie in tonight to some of that. But Jesus was very plain. He said in Matthew 24, he said that in the last days, he said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, the word deceive there means to lead away from truth into dangerous territory. Now, hear me what I'm saying tonight. Whenever you are led by a prophet and you're led away from truth into dangerous territory, we're talking about you're moving into territory of the supernatural, because prophets deal in the supernatural. And when you deal with a false prophet or a deceived prophet, they're going to move you away from the truth of Scripture into something that's very dangerous. And it may be very subtle sometimes. But remember that for every power manifestation that God gives in the New Testament, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the devil, Satan, and the fallen angels and the demon spirits, they have counterfeits. The devil has power. The devil even heals people. There are demonic healings within voodoo, within Hinduism and Buddhism. There's healing that happens, but of course what it is a demon causing one manifestation of sickness. They go to the witch doctor or to the guru, and that thing stops, that particular sickness stops, but the demon doesn't leave the person's body. It goes somewhere else and causes a problem later, but it makes the guru or the witch doctor, it makes them look like they are, powerful and that they have power to heal. But remember, these things are really, really real, and manifestations do happen. And we're warned, Jesus said in Matthew 24, that as we approached the last days, as we approached the time of the Great Tribulation, as we entered into the Great Tribulation, he said there would arise false Christ and false prophets, which would show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive even the very elect. So that is telling us that there are going to be people in the last days who would come along with great signs and wonders, miracles, supernatural manifestations, but not from Jesus Christ, not according to the scriptures. They are there to deceive you and lead you astray, either into some damnable false doctrine that will destroy you, or to open you up to demonic manifestation, to demonic contamination and defilement. And this is a very real issue. Now, as many of you who may be listening tonight already know, the Lord has been dealing with me about this for several years, really for many years, in the kingdom of God, because I've read the Bible. I read the Bible as a teenager. I read the Bible throughout my 20s and saw that there was going to be counterfeit. There was going to be false manifestations of Satan, and to watch out for those things. So, again, really, we just have to read the Bible and be full of the Holy Spirit and expect that the devil's going to be the devil, and that there are going to be false teachers and false preachers and false prophets. And again, some of them are doing it intentionally. They know they're deceiving us. There are other ones that are just deceived themselves. They've believed lies and false teachings, and they've gotten tangled up with deceiving spirits of Satan. And they are just deceived, and they think they're doing the right thing. And actually, I think that that's a good example. I honestly believe that Joel Osteen really believes that he's doing something good and that he is helping people. But I don't even really think he's doing it intentionally. Now, there are people out there that I believe is doing it intentionally, like Pope Francis. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's doing it on purpose, and he is a great actor, and he's making people fall for his deception and his subtle, worldly ways. And, of course, I believe the miracles are going to start happening in the Roman Catholic Church, even greater and greater magnitude. But what we're going to look at tonight is really what I've seen. And this is stuff tonight I'm going to talk about is not something I read in a book. It's not something I just heard about. I have been in the Pentecostal and charismatic movement now for 27 years. I have rubbed shoulders, been face-to-face, been in meetings with, had hands laid on me by some of these people. I've had personal encounters with some of these people who are revered in Pentecostal and charismatic circles as true prophets. And I'm going to tell you that my experiences with them, and as I have examined not only the spirit that they transferred when they prayed for me, but also the teachings that they began to put forth, and I began to realize that many of those prophets in the prophetic movement, and I'm just going to name names tonight. I mean, the Morning Star, Rick Joyner, Todd Bentley, Paul Kane, John Paul Jackson, Bob Jones, that group, and of course the late Bob Jones, who just recently passed away, that group has moved into, and has been for some time, moved into some very false, very clear false teaching, some very clear Eastern religion, occult practices, and it's just time to expose it. Now, I'm going to take a break for just a second. We're going to come back. I'm just going to take a break, and we'll be right back. But we're going to discuss this tonight. And the reason I want to take an early break right here is because it's something I want you to do. If you know people out there, if you go to a church that's a Pentecostal or charismatic church, or you know people who are Pentecostal, charismatic, or who are open to the supernatural, miracles, healing, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all that's wonderful. But if you know people out there who are in churches like this, they need to be warned. They need to be aware of what's creeping in. May not have crept into their church yet, but it could be creeping in, and they need to be aware of it. So what I want you to do when we take this break, get on Facebook, get on your phone, text somebody, but say, hey, you need to tune in to Prophecy Quake tonight, and you need to listen. They're going to take a break. They're coming back on. They're going to discuss how to recognize the true prophetic and true prophets from false prophets, how to recognize occult techniques, satanic techniques versus the true gifts of the Holy Spirit, We're going to talk about some that's crept in, and we're going to name some names. And, you know, here's the thing. A lot of people think you shouldn't name names. But the bottom line is that Jesus named names. Paul named names. Paul named names. I remember when Jesus was speaking to John in the book of Revelation in chapter 2 concerning the churches, and he was speaking about the church of Thyatira, and he said, you go tell them that they suffer, they allow that false prophetess, Jezebel, who teaches and seduces my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. You tell them that I'm going to cast her into a bed, and those that commit adultery with her, I'm going to cast that into that bed, and I'm going to kill her children with death. I mean, this is something that Jesus gave the Apostle John, a prophetic word, a word of knowledge, a clear word for that church, for the church of Thyatira, and he named the woman in the church who was leading people astray, leading them into sexual immorality, leading them into compromise with paganism, eating things sacrificed to idols. And Jesus told John to name her by name and to confront that situation and to tell the pastors and leaders of that church that they're in big trouble. And if they don't deal with her, he's going to let her stay, and then he's going to start allowing people to die who get tangled up with her. So we're going to take a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. The first thing the Lord Jesus told his disciples when they asked him, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" was, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Jesus repeated this warning four times in Matthew 24 alone. He even mentioned that these false prophets would do great signs and wonders. With that being said, why then has the church become so lax in guarding itself against deception? Why do most Christians continue to embrace almost anyone or anything that claims to be from God? In the polluted church, I will share how the Holy Spirit led me to the truth about the Egyptian Desert Fathers, the Roman Catholic Church, the emerging church, and the current prayer and prophetic movements in the charismatic church. Discover how the doors to the church have been opened wide to Satan by false prophets, counterfeit manifestations, and the use of Eastern meditative techniques such as repetitious prayers, visualization, and even astral projection. Chances are you or someone you know have been affected by these demonic practices and deceptions that have crept into the church. It is time to cleanse the house of God. Get your copy of The Polluted Church from Rome to Kansas City today by going to deanodal.org, or if you want an ebook, go to any ebook store and type in The Polluted Church. It's good to be back. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odal, and we are going to bring on Pastor Billy Painter, who is with us tonight. We'll check in with him. Pastor Billy, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good evening, fellas. How are you guys doing this evening?
Good evening. How are you, brother?
Excellent, excellent. Very, very important broadcast tonight, to say the least. I hope that a lot of people are tuning in, and I think that eyes will be open in a time when they really do need to be opened. It's critical that people see through the deceptions that are being put forth out there by people that they think that are leading them in the right direction, but in fact they're actually leading them away. And, you know, actually, you had written in your book, The Polluted Church, about how oftentimes these false prophets and these false leaders, you know, they can do some pretty eye-catching things. They get the attention of the minions, but when you actually sit down and you look into their doctrines, and it's pretty easy to see that they're way off base and they're people that you really need to get away from quickly.
Very true. And the thing about it is that most people in the church world, of course, we get excited when we think we see something that's supernatural, and that's okay. I mean, God wants us to be excited about what he's doing. And if he's moving, his Holy Spirit is moving, and he's touching people, and miracles are happening, and people are getting saved, and people are getting healed, and people are getting delivered from demons, and all that's wonderful if it's the real thing, if it's the real McCoy. You know, I know that we have many critics out there that, you know, just hate anything supernatural. We got people like Hank Hanegraaff and these others that, you know, like, what's his name? Why is it? John MacArthur and some of the others who they just can't stand anything supernatural. They don't want to believe that tongues is for the day, the gift of tongues or prophecy, or that Jesus can heal somebody. And, you know, frankly, I don't want any part of that. That's just death. To deny that the Creator that we serve, that we know, the Heavenly Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God, the mighty Creator, Jehovah, Yahweh, that he's not the same powerful God today as he was when he created the heavens and the earth, or when he worked with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, or through the prophets of the Old Testament and into the New Testament. He's the same God. He said, I am the Lord, and I change not. So I look at those guys and I just say, you know, I hate to say this, but it's just foolishness. It's just a fool's errand. They're bound up by their prejudices. They're bound up by their false theology, by their pride of their doctrines and their doctorates and everything else in their schools. Many of them don't even know they've been infiltrated and taught by Jesuits anyway to keep the power of God from the church. Again, some know it, some don't know it. But I want to read a passage for a second. This is from Ezekiel about false prophets. This is Ezekiel chapter 13, and it says some interesting things here. Let's just start at verse 1. Of course, Ezekiel was a true prophet and had a powerful experiences with the Lord. And he said, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets." Now let's just stop right there. God told one prophet, you need to prophesy and speak against other prophets. So folks, tonight what I'm telling you, what we're doing tonight as a prophetic ministry, dealing with other prophetic ministries, is exactly what we're supposed to do. In fact, the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 14 says this, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other prophets judge. Guess what, guys? People say, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. No, we're told when it comes to prophets and their prophecies and their doctrines and their lives and everything else, that let them speak. Yes, freedom of speech in the church. Let them speak. But let other prophets judge, discern, determine what they're saying really from God. Is it really according to Scripture? Is it really life, or is it demonic deception leading to death? So that's just the first phrase there in Ezekiel 13, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, not the prophets of Satanism, not the prophets of, you know, Hinduism, Buddhism. No, he says prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy and say, Thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the day of battle, in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. And he says, have you not seen a vain vision? Have you not spoken lying divination? Whereas ye say, thus the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Thus saith the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore I am against you, saith the Lord. And my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity, that divine lies, and they shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writings of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, peace, and there was no peace. So we'll just stop right there for a few minutes, but that is one prophet getting a word to rebuke the prophets of his own people. The prophets who were saying, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, thus saith Yahweh. And he said, you prophets, you're prophets out there, you've seen nothing in reality. The vision you've seen, the divination you've seen, it's out of your own spirit. It's out of your own heart. It's lying, deception. It's divination. It's witchcraft and not the Holy Ghost. And folks, this is, you say, well, Pastor Dean, that's Old Testament. Guess what? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for correction, for reproof, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. And, of course, that's 2 Timothy 3:16. So here we have this example. And, of course, I've already quoted to you earlier the examples in Matthew 24 where Jesus was speaking to his apostles and the days that would follow. And, of course, I could go into the Acts, and I could go into the epistles of Paul where he said, despise not prophesying. But he said this. This is 1 Thessalonians 5. He said, despise not prophesying. He said, but prove all things or test all things and then to hold fast to that which is good. Any comment on that, brother?
Well, I was actually looking at Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 3. Basically, it says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the signs or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet. That should be triple underlined for people of today. Or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. That's what's happening a lot with these people. They open the door and bring people in, and then they start taking them off the path and pointing them into other directions, as you said before, with contemplative prayer. It's mysticism light into mysticism heavy. I mean, before the people know it, they're sucked into it. And it's rampant today, man. You mentioned Todd Bentley's name. Of course, you know, he came through Bob Jones, and I hope you share tonight the story of Bob Jones laying hands on you. That's powerful. And how somebody can pass on a bad spirit onto people.
Oh, yeah, and that's something I want to read the scripture about that, because a lot of people don't believe in the transference of spirits. And this is one of the reasons we're talking about this tonight, because it's so important to understand that when you submit to someone's ministry and you allow them to pray for you and to lay hands on you and to pray for you, as we do, of course, in charismatic and Pentecostal circles. And actually, the laying on of hands is getting more and more prevalent in many ministries that are not, or that don't call themselves charismatic or Pentecostal. And of course, laying on of hands is a biblical practice. It's a biblical teaching. We're to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, Jesus said in Mark 16. And we're to lay hands on people to commission and ordain them to ministry. Paul talked about laying hands on people to impart the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we know that the apostles laid hands on people for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. So the doctrine of the laying on of hands, and it's mentioned as a foundational doctrine in Hebrews chapter 6. So we're supposed to lay hands on people, but here's the thing. You better be careful who you let lay hands on you. You better be careful who you let pray for you, because the moment you submit spiritually, you bow your head and say, yes, you can pray for me, or yes, you can prophesy to me, or yes, you can, you know, minister to me, you've opened your spirit, you've opened your soul, and you've opened yourself up to whatever they got, whatever they're going to transfer to you, and you better hope it's good and not bad. Because, see, what the Bible talks about is prophets having the ability to pollute or to defile people by ministering to them. I'm going to read this. This is in Jeremiah 23, and we're going to go down to verse 9. And this is what he said. He said, "My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane," that means unclean. "Yea, in my house I have found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal," or by Satan's power, "and caused my people, Israel, to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery, walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants of thereof of as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood. I will make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness," that is spiritual pollution, defilement, "has gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision out of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord." So I love this in verse 17. It says, "They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say to everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you." Listen, this Jeremiah 23 really exposes the difference between the false prophets and the true prophets. But let's just remember, he said that they would be very deceptive, and they would be defiling people and defiling the land. Now, let me explain a little bit. Let me kind of go into this some before we play the clip that we're going to play here in a minute. I'm just going to give you some of the things that have crept into the church that are not biblical and that have opened the door into both very big prayer movements, very big ministries, both evangelical and charismatic and Pentecostal, into the prophetic movement. And by these things creeping in and being allowed to creep in, we have seen pollution and contamination and defilement from demonic forces And the whole reason is because there has been a subtle yielding to occult techniques within the prophetic ministry. I'm going to give you an example. All right? Jesus made it very plain over in Matthew chapter 6, right? Matter of fact, let's turn there. If you have your Bibles out tonight, or you're looking at a Bible on your phone or your iPad or whatever, turn to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to turn there myself. I could quote the scripture, but hey, let's just turn there and read it. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
If I can get there to it, goodness. I'm all the way back in Jeremiah. All right. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to go down. Oh, let's see where we'll go to here. Ah, yes, verse 7. He says, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Now, I've done much research and much prayer about this subject. And of course, we know that Jesus is very clear here when he says, when you pray. So he's speaking to his disciples, to his people, to Christians. He says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. Don't do it. It's real simple. For they think that they will be heard by their much speaking. Now, what he was saying here is that the heathen believed, and when we talk about heathen, we're talking about pagan religions. And you have to remember, at the time of Jesus Christ in the first century here, Hinduism was already in swing. Buddhism was already operating. There were already religions out there that practiced chanting, which repeating a sound or a phrase or a word over and over and over again, or saying a short phrase, prayer or whatever, meditation or whatever, saying it over and over and over again. And they believed that if they could chant the same phrase or chant the same sound or the same holy or sacred word to them, that if they could do that, they could begin through their much speaking, their repetitious prayers, that they could connect themselves to God or the divine, or as the Hindus and the Buddhists called the Brahman or the God force, or the, you know, as they did in Star Wars, just the force. But they believed that they could connect. Now, if there was not something spiritual going on when they used these repetitious prayers, do you think people would keep doing these things for centuries? And that's what I marvel at, because here we go. Jesus knew about the religion of the heathen. Now, again, you can go back and look. Hinduism, Buddhism, 1500 B.C., they already had their prayer beads to count their repetitious prayers. They already had sacred names of different deities that they would chant and speak over and over and over and over and over and over again. Now, I have many accounts. Of course, I did a lot of research in my book, Grace Abuse, many accounts of yoga gurus, all kinds of Buddhist monks and Buddhist priests, and even Islamic Sufis, Kabbalists. You can find it in every false religion. You find that there is some form of repetitious prayer exercise. And what happens is you can read the accounts of these pagan heathen people getting into their meditation, their type of meditation with these repetitious prayers, these repetitious chants or sounds or whatever. Some of them just focus on their breath, in and out, in and out. But they focus on that as a repetition. And what you find is these people begin to have spiritual experiences. But what we have to understand, according to the Bible, is that once they do this, the spiritual experiences that they're having, if they're not going through Jesus Christ and obeying his word and believing in him And they're doing it, trying to climb up some other way, as Jesus talked about, trying to get to him through some other way. What they're doing is they're beginning to connect with spiritual forces. They're just not the forces of God. And folks, the forces that the Buddhists, the Hindus, the New Agers, the Muslim Sufis, the Kabbalists, the Wiccans, and the Roman Catholics with their repetitious prayers, and the monks and within the Catholic Church and their repetitious prayers to Mary and so on, what they are connecting with are angels of light, fallen angels. And this is something that I have seen over and over and over again. I have cast the demons out of New Agers who came to Jesus and got saved, but because of their using repetitious prayer and connecting with what they call the God consciousness or the divine light that's out there or the God force or the Brahman or whatever, they were connecting with a demon, and we've cast that demon out. And, of course, the Bible is very clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Satan comes as an angel of light, that he comes to those who are looking outside of Jesus. He will come as an angel of light, and he will give them manifestations. He will give them supernatural visions, tinglings, all kinds of things that can happen to convince them and deceive them that they've connected with God without doing it according to God's word and through the only Messiah, Jesus Christ. But here's where it gets a little trickier. What happens if a Christian begins to do this in disobedience to God because they're taught to do this by a pope or a priest or a pastor or a prophet, and they're taught to use the same technique of repetitious prayer, chanting, whether it be using the name of Jesus over and 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 over. Is that the same thing that the Kabbalists are doing, that Islam, Sufis, the mystical men of Islam do? It's exactly the same. Now, here's what's amazing. This spiritual practice, anyone who gets into it ends up deceived. They end up opened to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils, and that's why you see most of this in the Roman Catholic Church has led to the worship of Mary, praying to Mary, and it's led to praying to saints and to dead popes and to angels. And it's led to all these things because once they disobey the direct command of the Lord Jesus Christ to not use vain repetition, they have automatically opened themselves up to demonic spirits. And though they may not be fully off course yet, they're headed off course. And they've yielded to a demonic force, and they're going to be confused individuals. And now here's the sad thing. A lot of people that get mixed up in this contemplative, it's called now in the church world contemplative prayer. It's called centering prayer. It's called by the Catholics different things like lecto divina. It's called all kinds of things. It's called, some people call it meditation, when it's not really biblical meditation. It's completely different. But this type of prayer is pagan. And the moment you begin to practice it, you open yourself up to the pagan demon spirits. And this is what disturbs me. I have watched people, young people, get into this stuff and get really weird and get really confused and get really deceived and really get, and they get off the teachings of the Bible. And here's another thing that's very interesting. It's kind of like once this doorway is open to these demon spirits, they end up into more sexual immorality. You know, I mean, everybody wrestles with the issues of lust and sexual issues. And so you get free, you start walking with Jesus, you get your sins forgiven, you start becoming a stronger believer, and then you start doing this, and all of a sudden you don't realize why you're falling back into sexual immorality, whether it be pornography, lust, fornication, adultery, whatever. Now here's the other thing, and I know I'm kind of talking long on this segment. You can break in if you want to there, Billy, but the other thing that's usually incorporated in what we'll call contemplative prayer, Eastern prayer, with the Christians is also the act used by every witch, used by every false religion to help aid their connection to supernatural, to the spirit realm and supernatural forces, and that is the act of visualization, where they actively use their own imagination and their own mind to create a vision, to create a picture in their mind, and then they begin to interact with that picture. And the problem with that is that God has called it his word, says 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 6, says not for us to create imaginations or images or visions. It says for us to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Listen, a lot of people are being taught by the Catholics and by a lot of these new mystic people and these prophets and these different ones. They're being taught to visualize Jesus and then begin to interact with that vision in their head, in their mind, in their own imagination. And they're being taught to interact with that. Now, here's the problem with that. How do we know that that's not the real Jesus? If you create an image in your own mind of Jesus, and then somebody else creates an image in their mind, and another person, and 300 people create their own image of Jesus, how can it be the real Jesus? Because everyone's going to have a different image, a different imagination, a different idea of what he thought. And that is the problem, and that is what it said in Ezekiel. He said, these false prophets have not truly seen something from God. He said they're seeing things in their own spirit, in their own mind, in their own imagination. They're prophesying out of their own hearts. This is great danger here when it goes down this road. When you start coupling repetitious prayer and visualization together, you are practicing paganism. You are practicing witchcraft. You are opening yourself up to demons. And if any preacher or minister, whether he be an evangelist, a prophet, apostle, a teacher, a pastor, whatever, if he advocates this kind of behavior, repetitious prayers and visualization, if he advocates those things, then he is leading you into an occult practice, and he's leading you into demonic defilement.
Oh, I agree 100%. You know, also, too, it's... I coined this phrase, the meditation deception, that the New Age movement is so hyped up on. You know, they talk about clear your mind. They take meditation and make people believe that you're to empty your mind and not, which isn't focusing on God in any way, shape, or form. And as they clear their minds get filled with all kind of things that they don't even realize. For example, people doing yoga. It always kind of makes me cringe if I go by a church and they have yoga classes there. And it's like, well, do they even realize where yoga comes from, what the chants and meditations of yoga consist of, basically paying homage to sun gods with the different positionings and things and mantras and how that, you know, something even like the Kundalini spirit can just infest these people, and they don't even know it. And right. It's like they've become unwilling time bombs filled with demons. And I'm not saying that these are bad Christian people, that they're going to church and they're having fellowship and they're trying to keep healthy and stuff. Well, that's all good things. But see, that's how Satan can twist things. He knows how to lure people into these situations, and then once they fall for a false prophet or false leader or someone who's telling them that, oh, this is what you really need to do for your benefit, and they open themselves up to that, they empty their minds, and all of a sudden, their minds are not focused on God anymore. Their minds are getting filled with all kind of things that they're not even aware of. And that's scary. And there's a lot of that happening today.
Well, you're right, brother. Well, listen, we have someone on the line here. I want to take this call. You have an 817 area code, so we're going to bring you on. Are you there?
Yep.
Okay, what's your name? Yeah.
Well, I got a question. I've got a couple of friends, and both of them, you know, when I was growing up, I was friends with them, and both of them turned out to be preachers. And they kind of preach different ways, but both of them really believe they're preaching from their heart, and they really believe it. So who do you follow? I mean, how do you know?
Well, it's real simple. You follow the Bible. There's a lot of men out there that believe different things, say different things, but when at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, you better check what the Bible says. It's the final authority. No man is the final authority on doctrine or what is acceptable to God. He's written it in his word from Genesis to Malachi and Matthew to Revelation. It's all in there. So, you know, a lot of times, now again, there are people out there who are putting forth false things and are sincere people. They're sincere, but they may be lacking understanding in some area or whatever. But that's why we will all be judged by one book, one word. Jesus said we'll be judged by what's written in this book right here.
So if I pick the wrong one, and my friends think that they're preaching the right way, but deep down in my heart, I really believe that, and I try to do everything I think is right, I could still go to hell? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's a different subject right there. I mean, ultimately, there's only one way to be saved.
I was talking
about
that, yoga. So
what's
those that? People are leading a really good life and doing everything else. If all they do is go in and do yoga every day, but they're being tricked and they don't know it, would they be judged on that if they didn't know?
Well, yeah, that's a good question, because ultimately, God will be the final judge on that matter of what they knew and what they didn't know. I'm not saying that a person who goes and practices yoga or falls into this stuff is automatically going to go to hell. I'm not saying that at all, because there's a lot of Christian people who believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. They believe he died on the cross for their sins. They believe he rose from the dead the third day. They believe the Bible. They've been born again. They've repented. They've turned from their sin. They're saved people, but they're being deceived. And they're getting into things that they shouldn't be getting into. And what it's going to do, it's going to harm them spiritually in this world. I mean, it can even cause physical problems and mental problems when you open doors to demons. But they can still make it to heaven if they don't fall away from God and fall into, you know, into sin and get into where, you know, a lot of people end up not even believing in Jesus anymore are believing that all religions lead to God and all those other kind of lies that are out there. So it's not a matter of, I hope you didn't think it, or no one thinks that I'm saying, oh, if you practice yoga, if you're a Christian, you go practice yoga, you're going to hell automatically. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that this stuff is dangerous, and that whenever we disobey any part of God's word, we open ourselves up to spirits of darkness that can deceive us and really harm us. And of course, their ultimate goal is to take us away from Jesus, to get us believing something else, to give up our faith, to walk away, to live in sin and rebellion or whatever. So the reason that I speak so loudly about this and so boldly about it is because I don't want anybody to be led astray. I don't want anybody to be led into a place of danger where they can be harmed, whether it be spiritually, mentally, emotionally, or even physically, and then end up in hell forever. We don't want that to happen. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, it did. I mean, that's really not why I called in. I just called in because I listened to you guys. I was waiting for the longest time to get on, and I was listening, and those just popped in my head. I was just calling to let you know that there are people out here listening to y'all.
Hey, man, I appreciate it.
The world. You know who this is.
Oh, yeah, I recognize your voice. I didn't recognize the phone number, but I recognized your voice. So good to hear from you, Roy.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all, I've been listening to y'all and just thought I would drop in and say you're doing a good job and keep it up. I don't hear too many people call in and tell you all that. So,
hey, thank you very much, brother.
Let you know.
Thank you.
And those questions just came up while I was talking. Just sitting there waiting to talk. So,
hey, I love it, man. I love
it. Back to your show here, and
okay, brother.
Keep listening.
God bless.
I'll give you a call in a couple of weeks, man.
All right.
Take care.
Good. All right, take care, brother. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Praise God. Old friend there from many, many years ago. Glad he's listening out there in Texas. Praise God. Well, listen, this will be a good point here. We're at about the done with the first hour. We're going to take a break and come back in just a moment and delve into this. As a matter of fact, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at some of the big names out there in the Christian world who have influence with a lot of people, and we're going to look at some of the things that they're teaching and preaching that I believe is very clearly compromising with paganism and the Roman Catholic Church and some other things. We're just going to look at that and name some names. You'll be shocked. I think some of you are going to be really, really shocked when you hear some of these names. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odell, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Into the mirror, knew I wasn't who I wanted to be. I was living life the way that I wanted, but my eyes reminded me I'm not free. Believed in life, so everything that I know says I gotta go, tired of going solo. But I'm never gonna go there again. This is what it is, this is who I am, this is where I'm finally. You're living in fear, having trouble even looking at me. Wishing they would give you more than words, sick of people telling how it should be. What you download, where'd you get your info? You saw the hype show, now you're in the endo. Gonna tell you what I believe. Oh, this is what it is, this is who I am, this is where I finally take my stand. I didn't wanna fall, but I don't have to. That's the one with two dark hands, giving him the best of everything that's left of the life inside this man. I've been born again.
long before they called it hyper grace. The Lord had me call it grace abuse. Back in 1997, I wrote my first book entitled Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival. This book is about the false doctrine of once saved, always saved, or unconditional eternal security. I believe this doctrine and the abuse of this subject of grace is one of the biggest issues in the church today. Get your copy of Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival today at deanodal.org. Grace is not a license to sin.
You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you for our second hour here on Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odal. As I said, we're going to get right into it. Brother Billy still with us out there. Good to have you with us, Billy. I'm just going to look at some of that's in the book, Polluted Church. Of course, I did my research. Now, I want to make this statement very clear as we get into naming some names and pointing out some very obvious false teaching that's in the body of Christ. I want to say this, and I want to make it very, very clear. Just because I name someone and say, look, what they're teaching here is incorrect according to the Bible. What they're teaching here is paganism. It's, it's a compromise. They may be deceived somewhat. I'm not saying that they're a total heathen, that they don't know God or they're not saved or they're not a Christian leader and that some of the things that they teach are not true. But here's the thing. We have a story in Galatians chapter 2 where the apostle Peter was getting into some error and he was not walking uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. As a matter of fact, Peter had healed the sick and he was the apostle to the Jews. I mean, his shadow healed the sick. He did great miracles. And yet when he went to Antioch and he got into the whole thing, Paul had to rebuke him. Another apostle had to rebuke him publicly in front of everyone. Matter of fact, Paul rebuked him in front of everyone and then shared it in a letter to the churches of Galatia. Paul did not take Peter off privately and have a talk with him. No, Peter's public misrepresentation of the gospel had to be corrected publicly for the sake of those who had been misled. So in the same way, we're going to deal with some people who are teaching some errors. Now, the first one we're going to mention tonight, we're going to get into the subject because we've been talking about contemplative prayer. We've been talking about using vain repetitions in prayer, what Jesus clearly forbade in Matthew 6:7, where he said, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. We know that all these false religions from Hinduism and Buddhism and Sufism and so on down the line use vain repetitions in prayer to connect with the supernatural or the spirit realm. And so Jesus warned us not to do this. So he clearly, and see, this is what I want to make clear. A lot of people say, well, you know, these people are praying to pagan deities, or they're already deceived. But remember, if it wasn't important to warn his people, he wouldn't have. If it wasn't important, see, I believe this about the Bible. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I believe every single word in the Bible is important. That God didn't waste his breath, he didn't waste his space, and he didn't waste his words. He said exactly what he wanted to say. He gave us the words of life, the words that are alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. He gave us what we would need to discern good and evil, to discern truth from a lie, the devil from the demon spirits from angels, and so on down the line. He gave us what we would need. And the Bible is the sword that cuts through all the crap. I mean, I hate to be so blunt, but the Word of God, the Bible, the written Word, is the sword that cuts through everything. And so I don't get enamored. See, a lot of people in the body of Christ, I'm just going to say this, I've watched it, they get a little bit starstruck when they get around celebrity preachers that are famous, that have big ministries, that maybe are on television or have a lot of influence internationally and worldwide, and or they've got books and everybody knows their name in certain circles. And I've watched people with this starstruck look around certain preachers, whether male and female, that are well known, and you watch them like just be blinded to what's going on in their life. And that's just something, listen, there's nothing wrong with showing honor to whom honor is due, you know, respecting an elder and respecting a prophet in the name of a prophet. I understand all that. But at the end of the day, we're all just men and women. We're all just human beings. Nobody is super special beyond anybody else. And so in my life, I've shown respect to elders, but I'm not going to look the other way, no matter how famous, no matter how popular, no matter how well-known somebody may be. I'm just not going to be afraid to address the problem that's out there. And if they preach or teach something publicly, or they prophesy something publicly, it is open to public scrutiny and public correction and testing. This is why the body of Christ is so deceived. I'm just not enamored by big names. I've met them. I've hung out with them. I've eaten dinner and lunch with them. I could name a bunch of names that are big time in the body of Christ. I'm not impressed. They're human beings. You know, and here's the other thing before we get into this. Here's the other thing. We forget that let's just look at King Solomon. King Solomon started out right. He was a man of prayer. He was a man after God. He was following after the Lord in the footsteps of his father David. And the Lord Almighty, Jehovah, Yahweh, appeared to him twice and promised to bless him, blessed him with more wisdom and revelation than any other man. But if we watch him over time disobey God's word in different places, and before you know it, he's into lust and sexual immorality with many women. And then God warned him, said, if you get involved with these pagan women, they will turn your heart away from me. And by the end of his life, Solomon, the great King Solomon, was building temples to Molech, which was a deity that demanded human sacrifice. And he was building all these different temples within Israel and promoting idolatry and paganism and the worst kind of evil that you could imagine. Listen, I'm going to tell you, the true prophets didn't sit back and not record what he did wrong. the true prophets. We know Nathan went into David and exposed the whole thing. We know Samuel confronted things with Saul publicly. Again, none of these things are hidden. And yet today in the body of Christ, we've become so weak and effeminate that we think we can't confront a brother or a sister in Christ because their ministry is too big and they're too popular. I'm sorry. So the first one we're going to look at is Mike Bickle. Mike Bickle is the director, founder and director of IHOP, the International House of Prayer. I have no doubt in my mind that Mike Bickle is sincere. I've read some of his books. I've been in his meetings all the way back to 1999. I've been around him some, and I started looking at what he was teaching. Now, he has a huge ministry out in Kansas City. He has many, many young people following him, many, many people across the world that look at him as a great leader. And I've looked at things that he teaches. He teaches a lot of good, solid truth. However, it would be terrible if we didn't address where he is opening up a generation of sincere Christians to demon spirits and counterfeit spiritual experiences. Let's just look. I'm going to look at a couple of excerpts. This is taken straight from MikeBickle.org, from his website, and from sermon notes where he preached. Now, this is where he talks about using repetitious prayer. Here's a couple of excerpts from Mike Bickle's sermon. These are taken directly from his website, MikeBickle.org, as I said. And we're going to read it right here. He said, quote, "As we linger in his presence, speak affectionately, intermittently saying to God, I love you. Speak slowly, not rapid fire. Softly, not shouting at the indwelling spirit. Briefly, short phrases, not paragraphs, even reducing phrases to one word. And minimally, listen twice as much as talking by limiting our speaking to one third, with many pauses, praying with our spirit, along with gently sighing, with gazing in silence for a few seconds or minutes. Less is more in terms of the amount and volume of speaking." Now, in his second sermon excerpt here, he shares how he's been doing this as far back as 1996, though I discovered that it goes back even further. Here are his words from a testimony that he shared from 1996. He said, "Just after midnight on November 30th, 1996, I was touched by God's presence in an all-night prayer meeting as I continued to speak one statement. From about midnight until 5 a.m., I said, 'Jesus, you are so beautiful.' Every time I said it, I felt a surge of his presence on me. I said, Body of Christ, open your gates to the beautiful God. The prayer meeting was over at 5 a.m. I went back to the church at 9 a.m. that day and said, 'You are the beautiful God,' for another 2 hours. Every time I said it, I felt the surge of his presence on me. I was struck by how clearly the Spirit was bearing witness with his presence to me about declaring Jesus' beauty." Now, did you see that? Did you hear that? He spoke one statement for about 5 hours in prayer. Now, folks, that is a repetitious prayer. That is, if it's not the definition of repetitious prayer, I don't know what is. It's no different than the Hail Mary that they say over and over and over again. He says, "Jesus, you're so beautiful." He says it for 5 hours. Now, I had my wife time me for 30 seconds saying, "Jesus, you are so beautiful," over and over. We counted that I was able to say the phrase 17 times in 30 seconds. So considering that Mike Bickle may have done it slower, I reduced it to 12 times in 30 seconds. That means that Bickle repeated the same statement in prayer around 7,200 times. Then he went back to the church and repeated another statement over and over for 2 more hours. That means that he repeated this mantra over 2,880 times. Now, he talks about how he felt a surge of God's presence every time he repeated the phrase. However, we have to ask, why would Jesus and his Holy Spirit reward someone with a touch of his presence when they are clearly disobeying a direct command of Jesus in the Bible? Jesus is the one who says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And in he who loves me, he will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." So very clearly, to have the manifestation of Jesus' presence in your life, you have to obey his commands. So I said I would have to judge Bickle's experience here by the Word of God and say that it was a counterfeit feeling and not the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what is so dangerous, because what he's done now is he is justified practicing this repetitious prayer, this contemplative prayer. And by the way, he has a whole audio series on contemplative prayer, and he calls it contemplative prayer. So he advocates this. And then, of course, how do I know that this is the kind of prayer that he's into? Because he also has a bookstore where he pushes people like Henry Nouwen and others like Thomas Merton and many other Catholic mystics like Teresa of Avila and others who practiced the same repetitious prayers until they had mystical, spiritual experiences. Now, let me just read this real quick. This I took from a Hindu-Buddhist website where they were talking about having their type of meditation and all kinds of spiritual experiences. He said, and this is an article entitled "Signpost of Progress in Meditation, Mystical Experiences." And Swami, and I cannot pronounce his name, of the Vivekananda Center in New York, said of his own experiences meditations, "One sees light, feels joy, experiences the upsurge of a great current in one's chest, like the bursting of a rocket." So regarding mystical experiences, this Swami talks about he feels these things when he meditates and when he practices yoga. So we see that they get into this stuff, and the Brahman, or what the Hindus' idea of the supreme God and the divine energy, and they begin to see things like snowflakes and smoke and sun and feel wind and see light and crystal and all kinds of things. And so they see all kinds of stuff. They have all kinds of spiritual experiences, these Hindus and Buddhists. So just because you have a spiritual experience with something does not mean that it is God. And this is paramount to understand, or you're going to open yourself up to demon spirits through these practices. Now, I could go on, of course, and talk about where Mike Bickle also advocates visualization. He does it in his book, Growing in the Prophetic, in 1993, and I have the quote in the book. So he advocates using visualization, creating these images in your mind of the throne room and of God in heaven and all these things, and doing this stuff. And this is exactly what Johanna Michelson warned about in her 1982 book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, when she talked about how she got into the meditation and the visualization, and she chose as one of her images that she created in her mind to be one of her spirit guides was Jesus. Well, what it ended up doing was she got deeper and deeper into the occult and deeper demon-possessed until, you know, Johanna Michelson, a lot of people don't know this, but she's the sister-in-law to Hal Lindsey, and they were praying for her, I'm sure. And this Jesus figure, when she would go into meditation and she would visualize this Jesus, his face would change from this beautiful image she created in her own mind. It would change to a werewolf, and then it would change back. It would change to a werewolf, and then it would change back. And God was trying to show her what you've got here is a deceiving spirit that's trying to appear to be Jesus, but it's really a wolf. It's really a wolf in sheep's clothing. And so delving into the spirit world is very dangerous. Matter of fact, that's a great book I would recommend anybody to read. It's called The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson. She finally got saved and got out of all that New Age and occult mysticism, and she really believed she was a Christian the whole time, that she thought she was really saved, and that this entity that she had created in her own mind and began to interact with, she actually believed that it was Jesus. And I'm telling you, listen to me, folks. There are a lot of people out there who have created this image of Jesus in their minds and they interact with it. This is exactly what Richard Foster, who's the author of The Celebration of Discipline, also teaches. And we know that Mike Bickle read The Celebration of Discipline and got involved with Richard Foster at John Wimber's Vineyard Church back in the late 80s and early 90s. And so, again, there are many connections to this stuff filtering into the church. Now, where has it led? Well, it keeps going because these Catholic mystics like Teresa of Avila, like St. Francis of Assisi, who worshipped Mary, who prayed repetitious prayers, who were clearly idolaters in the sin of idolatry, clearly disobeying Jesus' command about repetitious prayers, clearly using visualization, as she teaches, Teresa of Avila and the others, they began to teach these things, and spiritual things started happening to them. One, of course, St. Francis of Assisi was the first to experience the stigmata, or the signs of the scars and the wounds. What he said were the wounds of Christ in his hand, but this is not biblical. Stigmata is a demonic manifestation because of idolatry and paganism. It is a clear sign of an open door to the occult. These people had these things because they prayed to Mary, they prayed to angels, they prayed to dead people, and they used visualization and the chanting or repetitious prayers, and they open the doors to the demonic realm. And this blows my mind, but here we have Mike Bickle, founder of IHOP, trying to do a great thing, have 24-hour prayer, 24-hour worship. Young people flock to this thing, and they end up being taught repetitious prayer, visualization, and I personally know people who's gotten into that and screwed up their lives. And so this is a serious matter, and it needs to be addressed. It has also led to all kind of other freaky, weird things, because there's something else that's been going on in the church world, and what I discovered was that through Bob Jones, a prophet that was involved with Mike Bickle back in the early 1980s and through the 90s, and then, of course, he moved on and became Rick Joyner's right-hand buddy at Morningstar. And I've had personal dealings with Bob Jones. But here's the thing. They were advocating this thing called visiting the third heaven, that literally a Christian could at will travel outside of their bodies. Their spirit could separate and travel outside of their bodies, travel through the second heaven, which is outer space, and go up into the third heaven where God is whenever they wanted to. Now, what we're going to do here, so you don't take my word for it, we pulled up a clip from, I guess, about 2008, 2007, somewhere in that range. This clip that you're about to hear is from a prophetess, and I will say a false prophetess, named Patricia King. Her show, Extreme Prophetic, she has on at this time Todd Bentley and Bob Jones. And they begin to talk about this visiting the third heaven, traveling outside of their bodies when they want to, and teaching others how to do this. I remember when I first saw this video on YouTube. Now, we pulled the video off, so in case it disappeared, we'd have the record of it. And we also pulled the audio off for tonight. But I remember seeing this, and because I've helped people out of Satanism, out of witchcraft, out of the occult, out of the New Age movement and different things, led people, many people, through deliverance, I've seen what demons come in through these certain things. All the goal of all witchcraft and sorcery and meditation, whether it be Buddhists, Hindus, Satanists, Wiccans, their goal is to be able to make a a spiritual connection with their human spirit and travel outside of their body. That is the goal. It's called, some call it astral projection, some call it astral travel, some call it soul travel, but the bottom line is that they make a connection with a demon spirit, a force that enables their spirit to separate from their body and travel to other places. Now, can God supernaturally do that in a Christian's life and allow that to happen? Yes, he can, and he has, but he initiates it. Matter of fact, we'll look at that passage in a minute, but he initiates it. We don't initiate it. We don't control it. It's not by faith. I can't decide to leave my body, my spirit, leave my body and visit the third heaven anytime I very well please. This is the most ridiculous idea that I've heard in the body of Christ. It is clear occultism practice, and here it is. It's been advocated by Mike Bickle. It's been advocated by Rick Joyner. It's been advocated by Bob Jones, Todd Bentley, Patricia King, John Crowder, some of these others. There's a whole list of nuts out there. And I'm honest, I know that may sound tough, but this is insanity. We do not do this, and I'll give the passage that's used when Paul was caught up to the third heaven. We'll dig into the Greek and the whole nine yards to show it was God initiated and not Paul initiated. And for that matter, it only happened one time, and you're going to hear Bob Jones talk about him going up every day. Going up to the third heaven, through the second heaven, every day. So we're going to play this clip, and I want you to pay close attention. This is, again, the Bob Jones who passed away recently. This is him on Patricia King's show, Extreme Prophetic, with Todd Bentley, of course, the man that led the Lakeland Revival and ended up in an adulterous affair and leaving his wife in the midst of the revival, marrying his assistant. And then, of course, Rick Joyner went through a haphazard so-called restoration. But there's a lot of weirdness going on in the prophetic charismatic movement. And as charismatics and Pentecostals, we need to address it. But here's the clip. It's about 8 minutes long. Pay attention closely.
Todd, I remember years ago,
You
gave me a phone call and you said, hey, I've just been soaking with Bob Jones and I've gone up into the third heaven and all that. And it was all new to me. I'd never even heard that kind of language before and I was so hungry for it. But tell me about the first time you met Bob and, you know, your encounters into the third heaven.
Yeah, well, the first time that I had met Bob was actually in Grants Pass, Oregon. And we were sitting in a restaurant. And I was really hungry. I knew Bob was a real seer prophet. And I thought, Lord, I'm going to get an impartation. I've been having all these encounters and all these visions and experiences already soaking. But I thought, Lord, I need to talk to somebody that's been walking in this that's really a senior prophet. And so when I met Bob, I thought, Lord, I'm going to get an impartation. And I remember talking with Bob in a restaurant about, you know, going into the heavens and what it was. And we were talking about the third heaven and going into the immediate abode, into that place of the dwelling place of God. And I thought, that's awesome. I was hungry for it too. I wanted more because up until that point, sovereignly, God was just visiting me. And I was just waiting in his presence and sovereignly, God was visiting me. And Bob said to me, he said, well, we can go right now. And I said, what do you mean we can go right now? Like, just we can make a decision right now and enter into that realm of the Spirit? And he said, sure we can. Don't you have faith, boy? Or something like that, right? That's what he said to me. And I remember Bob took my hand. And everyone else at the table, I don't know how many, maybe 20, 30 other people were yakking at the table. It was quite noisy. A lot of other leaders there. And Bob just takes my hand like this. And he says, all right, here we go. And he says, close your eyes. And I remember closing my eyes. And Bob said, okay, there it is. Can you feel it? All right, here we go. We're going in. Whoa, we're going in. We're going in. And all of a sudden, I felt myself going up. I felt my body being lifted up. and it was moving really fast. And then he was like, can you smell it? Mm-hmm. There it is. Can you smell it? That's what you said to me, Bob. And you said, it's the vanilla. And right when Bob said the vanilla, I said, I smell vanilla. And then we started smelling all these other fragrances of the anointing. And then he said, okay, let's bring it back with us now.
Can you smell that vanilla right now? I just smell it coming and whipped in from here.
That's the fragrence.
Yeah.
I can feel the wind.
The wind.
I can feel the wind blowing
right
on my arm.
Yeah.
Right,
no, that's
here.
Not natural because this room's full of hot light.
Shut up.
We turned the air conditioner.
The whole table, remember?
On her neck.
The whole table felt it, though,
wow.
Or smelt it when we came back, Bob. They weren't pressing in with us, but they were all able to come into the experience with us. And everyone at the table started smelling just like now. That anointing.
Well, I remember when you were telling me about it, I got so hungry for it. And right after that, Bob was coming to a conference that we were having in Kelowna, the Dunamis conference. So I picked him up from the airport, and I was like, you know, I was going to just ask him all kinds of questions about this third heaven, you know, because I wanted it. And I wanted to experience God in a new way. And I think we all do. We're so hungry for him, right? But I hadn't caught yet, because you told me about the experience, but not about the faith dimension.
Yeah.
So I was just still thinking sovereignty.
Yeah.
You know, God's sovereignly going to move, take me up, whatever. So I'm asking Bob questions. And Bob, you said, well, I do my raptures every day. I said, what do you mean, your raptures every day? He said, I go up every day. And I said, you go up every day? I would love to go up every day. And he said, well, it's by faith.
Yeah.
And that, I said, what? Do you remember that? You would say, it's by faith. And I always operate everything else by faith, but I never dreamt that you could have a supernatural encounter stepping into it by faith. So the next day, in the lunchroom, I'm asking you more questions around the speaker's lunchroom, around the table.
Yeah.
And you said, well, do you want to go right now? I said, right here? Right now? Like just in the lunchroom? And he said, yep, you stood me up with the same thing.
Yeah.
He said, give me your hand.
Yeah.
And I closed my eyes and said, okay, just by faith, you know, follow the Spirit. And I never sensed anything, never saw anything. I was waiting for something to happen. And then I saw this little tiny glimmer of light, kind of like, but I thought it might be a reflection from the window because my eyes were closed. I thought, well, maybe the window's over here, maybe it's light. And then you said, do you see that little light? It's a flickering flame, I think you said. And I thought, oh my gosh, he's seeing inside this. This must be it. But it was so subtle and yet so profound.
Yeah. It starts a relationship. We were seated there in heavenly places when we were born again.
Yeah.
And when we go there, we start a relationship. And there's where you can begin to see things. I think it's very important that people go to the third heaven because if they've got hooks in them down here, when they go past the second heaven, the hooks come out.
Wow.
So whatever the enemy's got hooks into them, when they go up to the throne, they're coming out.
Far above all power, might, dominion, you go above the warfare.
Do you remember me telling you, just I want you to really notice the winds?
Yeah.
When you go into the third heaven, the angels come to greet you. Mm-hmm. The winds come on you.
That's right.
And then a lot of people see a lot of different colors. But when I take the children up most of the time, they see the white light. And they see the white thrones. And nearly everything they see up there is white. Hmm. And that's what God is white light. Which has got all the colors in it.
Yeah.
And up there they see one another as white light, for they are light.
Wow.
So
I remember you saying to me one time, you said, if you can teach children to ascend into the third heaven and live out of that place, then you will have a generation that will not be affected by the devil because the devil can't go there. Isn't that profound?
Yep. Well, youth and children, they hardly have any problem at all going there, especially 6 to 12. They go right up, and I've seen take them up and turn them loose. And then after you turn them loose, the first thing they do, they'll come and tell you what they've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times with them, I let them tell me what they've seen, then I interpret it to them. And then sometimes I will say, okay, go up again and see what you see for me. And I'll tell you, some of the most pure prophecies I've got come for some of them 6, 7, 8 years old.
Wow.
And some of the conferences I've been in when youth go up, I'll tell those as the speakers of the conference, you want blessed? Go let the children pray for you.
Yeah, that's true.
And see, they go continually there. They haven't been taught the doubt that we have here. I might share something I've already shared today.
Okay, you heard it for yourself, talking about going up to the third heaven at will, by faith, whenever you so choose. I'm going to read a couple of other accounts of Todd Bentley speaking about doing this with Bob Jones and some other people. But first, let's look at something here. Of course, the passage is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul said, I do a man above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, caught up to the third heaven. And he talks about where he heard unspeakable words that were not lawful for a man to utter. And Paul talked about very briefly about this experience that he was caught up to the third heaven and into the throne room of God, and he saw things that God wouldn't even allow him to talk about. So I want to make it clear here. I am not saying, and none of us here are saying, that God doesn't do these kind of things. I believe visions, dreams, even visits to heaven are very possible. We know God took Enoch to heaven. We know God took Elijah to heaven. We know we see John in the book of Revelation. He said he gave him a vision at first in the first few chapters. Then in chapter 4, he says, come up here. So I believe John came up and went into heaven in the spirit. He saw things. God gave him clear things about the last days, and then he came back to earth. His spirit came back to his body. We see the thing with Ezekiel being taken out of his body, his spirit taken and shown things in Jerusalem, and then him brought back and put back in his body. These things can happen. See, we're not Christians here who don't believe in these supernatural manifestations, that God is able. He's done it with his apostles and prophets and ministers in the past, and he still does it today. However, there's a big difference between God initiating the experience and us initiating it through our own imagination, our own minds, or using some kind of clear occult technique that the occultists or the witches use, and then claiming it's God. It's huge. But here is the Greek language here. When in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the phrase caught up, when he says, I was caught up to the third heaven, the Greek language here uses the aorist tense or the aorist passive participle, which is something that happened at a point in time and was caused by another. This was something that happened to Paul that he did not seek. D.E. Garland explains in his lexicon, he says, this verb suggests that Paul's experience was an involuntary one in which God took the initiative rather than one brought about by preparation or special techniques. The experience was not something he sought or initiated, therefore was not something that he could repeat whenever he wanted. Now, this is the difference. This is how we know that Bob Jones, Todd Bentley, Patricia King, and anyone else like John Crowder or these new mystics, we know that it is an occult practice if they can practice it and initiate it anytime they want and create these spiritual experiences. The Bible is clear in Hebrews chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 4, when it says that the Holy Spirit gifts are as He wills, as God wills, not as we will. We don't get to choose when we have a vision or when we flow in the gifts. The Holy Spirit moves. We yield to Him, and we become co-laborers with Christ. We are not the initiators of the Holy Spirit. We don't control Him. This just blows my mind, because what witches do is they are taught by Satan to believe that they have control over the spirits. And if they do certain spells and say certain words and go through certain techniques, that they are gaining power and control, and they're able to do these things when they want. So the devil makes them think, okay, you can do this when you want. I'll allow this when you do it, because I'm getting you deeper and deeper and deeper into bondage and demonic defilement and control and so on down the line. I'm getting you more and more demon-possessed. So that we're clear here, I want to show you where Todd Bentley describes this traveling outside of his body even more in an article that he wrote back in 2003. This was September 19, 2003. He's probably since taking this off his website. I got this back in around 2008 when I pulled it off of his website. But it was in an article entitled Living Under an Open Heaven, September 19, 2003. Todd Bentley shares another out-of-body experiences, and he tells of the involvement of Bob Jones and other prophets who were mentored by Jones back in Kansas City. This was on the Fresh Fire website in 2008. Here's what Bentley wrote, and again, I just copied and pasted. He said, quite often I have to go through the second heaven to get to the third heaven. Well, quite often there should throw up a red flag. I remember one occasion when I was on my way up and I could feel the sensation of ascending into the third heaven experience. Suddenly, I came up against something in the second heaven, and of course, we know this is where demons are and the principalities and powers, but he said, I came up against something in the second heaven, and this had never happened to me before. Literally, like glass shattering, the spiritual being broke into my trance. It confronted me in the form of a Tibetan monk that was meditating with his legs crossed. Now, let me explain to you what just happened to him. Todd Bentley is using his hocus pocus to travel out of his body to astral project up through the second heaven like he thinks he's going to the third heaven. And he's traveling out in the spirit realm and happens to run into a Tibetan monk who's meditating and doing the same thing. He really had a spiritual encounter with the spirit man of this Tibetan monk and who was meditating. So this ought to tell you that these techniques are pagan and occultic. They're doing the same thing. He says, I don't know where he came from. There was a false peace that came off this thing, and when I looked at it, I wondered, is this a vision from God or is this an intrusion? I sensed that perhaps I was accessing that realm so much that the demons started to take notice and began to fight against what I was doing. When I went to Bob Jones and Keith Davis, another prophet with this group, with this experience, they knew what it was. In fact, Bob had even had a similar being come to him in a second heaven experience. He confirmed to me that I had encountered a spirit of deception. No duh. And something trying to prevent you from going to the third heaven, Bob said. If I wasn't reading this from my own book, I would have a problem tonight because I'm almost speechless going back over this amazing foolishness being taught by Christian preachers. It says later in the same article, Bentley continues, in all this, the Lord has shown me that because of what Jesus did, now we can ascend too. We can follow him into the heavenly realm where he went before us and prepared the way. Now we can touch Jesus when he is ascending. I remember several different occasions when I've been with Bob Jones and he prayed with me and several others. He would say to us, I'm going to take you into the heavens with me. Then he would just grab us, and somehow in the anointing, a transfer would take place. We would be taken up into the spirit realm with him. Recently, I wanted to confirm again that this ability to go into the spiritual realm could be transferred. I said, let's see if this thing works. After praying for Jill Austin, a couple of my team members, I grabbed them and released the anointing, said, let's ascend. And all of a sudden, the vision started rolling quickly for them. Now, let me just share something about that I've got to share. What's interesting about this is that Jill Austin, who was a prophetess, got involved with these people doing this stuff. She had some kind of weird, twisted, her intestines got all twisted up, and she went to the hospital and died. Others of this group are coming down with cancer. We know that, I can't remember the name of the guy, Jim, that his wife died of cancer, who was at the, sitting on the platform with him at the Lakeland Revival. Then, of course, now we've heard of John Paul Jackson is coming down with cancer, has an aggressive cancer. And this is something that the Lord showed me. And, of course, we know that John Wimber, once John Wimber got involved with Paul Kane and Bob Jones and them, he also died prematurely. And the Lord has really spoken something to me. And listen to me, especially if you're out there and you're young in the prophetic ministry, beware of these people. There is a problem. Jesus told the church of Thyatira, he said, you suffer that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, you suffer, you allow it, you permit her to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. She teaches some kind of compromise. She seduces people away from the Word of God about sexual purity. And he said, and to eat things sacrificed to idols, meaning they had lax attitude toward pagan practices. And this is what Jesus said. Now, you can go read it for yourself in Revelation 2. Jesus said to them, I'm going to cast, I gave her space to repent, but she didn't repent. A lot of these prophets have had opportunities to come out of this foolishness, but they didn't. And what he said was, I'm going to cast her into a bed of adultery. And literally some in the Greek there, it can also mean sick bed. And then it says, and I will kill her children with death. Listen to me. This is life and death right here. Yeah, it was Jim Gall, his wife, died of cancer. And there are others as well. And it's sad because, you know what, I believe a lot of these people started out as sincere, godly men and women, sincere Christians, but got caught up in the hype of wanting the next new vision, the next new revelation, the next new supernatural manifestation, and they just got off into seeking it any way they could get it. And then, of course, here's the thing. There's a thing within Hinduism that a yogi or a swami who's very gifted, who's a master in the spiritual meditation and visualization, and that they can do this thing. It's called Shaktipat. And what they do is you don't have to be as gifted as they are in the meditation and have reached the level of activation of the kundalini and the ability to astral project and take your spirit out of your body. You don't even have to be that far advanced in it. But if you get around a true gifted guru who's been doing it for a lot of years, they can literally lay hands on you. You can look this up in Wikipedia, Shaktipat. And they lay hands on you and you can do it right after that. They impart it to you. Then they enable you to be able to do it. I believe that Bob Jones, and I know this because, you know, Pastor Billy, you're still with us. I'm sorry. I'm just having to roll with it. There's so much to cover. But I know personally that Bob Jones, when he lays hands on people, he is not transferring the Holy Spirit, because out of ignorance one time, he came to Montgomery, Alabama, when I pastored a church there back in the 90s. And he came and did a meeting there. And because I trusted some other pastors and leaders in the community, I went to this meeting. And even though my spirit was grieved and checked as this man gave his convoluted message he gave that night, I let him lay hands on me and people in my congregation that went to this meeting. After that laying on of hands of Bob Jones, everyone in our church began to suffer with depression, darkness, bad dreams, sexual lust attacks like you would not believe. And I realized we had been defiled. We had had spirits transferred to us that were evil through the laying on of hands of that man. And so because I understand deliverance and I understand how to deal with demonic contamination, and when you open a door, we went through, we would break those, you know, ask the Lord to forgive us for being stupid and letting a false prophet lay hands on us and transfer evil spirits to us. And see, a lot of people that believe Bob Jones is a true prophet are totally offended by what I'm saying right now. But listen to me, just because the man said a few things that did come to pass doesn't make him a true prophet at all. As a matter of fact, he destroyed a church that I planted in Georgia. And so I had personal dealings with that man. And he was a clear false prophet. And he has many people duped, boy. I mean, they used to fawn over him like he was, you know, unbelievable. But the man, he got into sexual immorality. He got into all kinds of mess. His prophecies, he prophesied so many things that didn't come to pass, and they make excuses for him again and again and again. But, you know, when I saw him, I didn't even know who Todd Bentley was, but when I saw the Lakeland Revival, when I saw Paul Kane and Bob Jones there, I knew it was going to crash and burn. And so it's no surprise to me that poor Todd Bentley ended up in adulterous affair, and the whole Lakeland Revival became a complete laughingstock and debacle. But then, of course, as I began to look at it closer, I began to figure out, wow, the prophetic movement in America is totally screwed up with compromise to the Roman Catholic Church, pagan practices, prophesying anything out of their own spirits. It is a mess. I mean, it is a total mess. Go ahead, brother.
No, it's these false prophets. I mean, it's foolish for them to even go down these mystical paths. And to be quite honest, one has to be a complete idiot to walk in direct disobedience to God. You know, they claim to know the Word of God, but yet they're walking in direct disobedience to Him. So this may be a little bold, it may be a little harsh, but, you know, for people that are doing those things, I recommend that people never enable a fool, and they never empower an idiot. And if you're around these modern-day Simon the Sorcerers, this is your warning this evening to open your eyes and turn from their teachings. You know, as we said at the beginning of the broadcast, some of these people can do different things that will draw you in. But when you really look at their doctrine and you really look at what they're teaching, they expose themselves. So, you know, I pray tonight that people have discernment and their eyes are open to these things. And as you said tonight, Pastor Dean, check with the Word of God. Whatever we say, whatever anyone says, line it up with the Word of God, because that is the ultimate authority.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, you know, truly, as Jeremiah said, it was, we read Jeremiah 23 earlier, he said, my heart is broken over the prophets. This mess, that's, I mean, it's such a mess out there. And all in the name of Jesus. It's just a mess. And for so many, just to watch masses of people blindly follow this stuff, you just sit there and go, God, why does it have to be this way? Why is the church so blind? Why are they just sheep to the slaughter? And you just sit back sometimes and it seems overwhelming, because there's so much complexity in all of this. I mean, there's good people who are just deceived. And then in the midst of those, there are people who are really in it for money. And then there are people who are Jesuits, or they're Satanists, or they're witches, who are truly have evil intent, and they're pretending to be prophets and preachers and teachers. And they've infiltrated the church. And all of this we've been warned of. And Jesus said, they will come in my name and deceive many. And they'll come in my name and do signs and wonders. They'll come in my name and they'll pollute you and they'll defile you and they'll use you and they'll make merchandise of you, as Peter said, through their covetousness. They'll tell you peace when there is no peace. They'll tell you you're okay, God's okay with you when you're not okay. They'll tell you you're going to heaven when you're living in sin. They'll tell you all kind of things. They'll, you know, tell you it's your best life now when you're headed into the great tribulation. I mean, I'm telling you, it's sad, but we have one big, gigantic mess called the body of Christ right now that's just blown to and fro with every wind of doctrine and every kind of prophet, and these prophets that think they can prophesy at will and flow in the supernatural whenever they want to, and what a mess. But, you know, I want to emphasize, Jesus said they will come in my name and deceive many. They'll come, some of them, preaching Jesus. They will come preaching the cross. They will even preach the resurrection. But they will end up leading you to Buddhism, Hinduism, different ways. I mean, I look at the Roman Catholic Church. It is the epitome of saying it is the Church of Jesus Christ on the earth, and yet it is leading people to worship Mary, to bow to statues, to pray repetitious prayers, to visualize things, to have demonic miracles from praying to Pope John Paul II, to experiencing stigmatas and everything else. I mean, we're not even going to be able to get to some of our other things that we were going to do tonight. But just know, the people that we've talked about tonight, from the Roman Catholic Church to Rick Joyner and Mike Bickle and Todd Bentley and Patricia King, I mean, this is only scratching the surface. There are more people out there, and there are new ones rising up with the same old deceptions, but just twisted a little differently. You know, one guy's got a book about the seven heavens or the seven levels of heaven. Let me just tell you something. You know where that comes from? That comes from the Kabbalah. That does not come from the Bible. There's the first heaven, our atmosphere. There's the second heaven, outer space. And there's the third heaven, the heaven of the throne of God where Jesus is. That is it. There's not seven levels of heaven. There's not seven heavens. Again, we've got so-called Christian preachers preaching stuff that is from the occult. It's from pagan religions. You want to talk about getting fired up, man. I could get fired up. I'm going to read one verse. This is Isaiah. We're going to end with this tonight because we're almost out of time. But this is Isaiah chapter 2, and this is verse 6, and this is what it says. And, of course, I'm going to give you a little breakdown here. But Isaiah 2:6, he says, "O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord." Now, the light of the Lord is the word of God, the truth of God. "O Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore, thou hast forsaken thy people," meaning the Lord has forsaken his people, the house of Jacob, "because they are replenished from the east. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers." He's saying here that these people have become, they satisfy themselves with practices from the east, Hinduism, paganism, meditation, all these different things. They do this from the east, and then it says that they are soothsayers like the Philistines. They're not operating in the true spirit of Christ Jesus. Well, folks, we're out of time tonight on Prophecy Quake. We're glad that you were with us. Join us next week, if the Lord willing. We will continue this course, but again, we're just glad that you were able to be with us tonight. God bless.
You've been listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odle. Be sure to join us next week, same time. And to further connect with us, go to deanodle.org or Facebook, Dean Odle Ministries.